couple of weeks ago, I received an email which was directed to myself, and the email contained a number of accusations against me, finger pointing at me, suggesting that I had acted in an inappropriate manner in different ways. At the time, I was preparing this talk on judging, and so I actually found it quite confronting because I had to work out how I would respond to these accusations that were levelled at me and whether I would respond in a way that we're going to talk about today or whether I'd respond in an inappropriate manner. So my name's Brad, if you don't know, and welcome to Kings Park Community Church. To understand what Jesus is talking about in terms of judging, today we've got to talk about splinters, telegraph poles, pigs and pearls. Bit of a mixture, isn't it? So before we get too far, I've been really challenged over the last probably 6 months about this word community. And I think God has a great desire for community. So this is the dictionary that you can pull up in Google. And the fourth is really, really significant. It says, the condition, community is the condition of sharing or having certain attitudes and interests in common. And so this year we're looking at this concept of the right way up. Things that God values and things that we as his followers should be implementing in the way that we do life. And so we looked at this slide last year, and we're not going to delve into this, there's a lot of information there, but the concept holds that God created us in his image, and Adam and Eve were given the opportunity to be in community, to live the values that God gave them to live. And they chose to live a different set of values. They broke community with God. And so they were expelled from the garden. And in the last few weeks, we've been looking at this guy, Abraham. And so God pulled Abraham out of his normal living situation and said, I would like you to exhibit or display what I perceive to be community. There are values and ethics that I would like you to live. But we know if we look through the history, that didn't hold very well, and we've had kings and all sorts of things. And we end up eventually with Israel being removed from the promised land. And so we're not going to read this, but if you have a quick look in here, you'll see that when Jesus or when God condemns the Israelites, it's not based on their religious form. It's based on how they treated other people and how they treated God. And so 400 years later, after this broken community and this concept of God having a special people set aside to show his values and his community to the world, Jesus arrives. And so that's what we've been looking at in the last number of weeks, is Jesus is here on earth. He is starting his teaching ministry and he is talking about different values that God would like us to express or use in community. And so he's on this mountain, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And here are some of the topics that Jesus has addressed. And he doesn't shy away from the big topics. And so he talks about things like, what does it mean to be blessed? How to have a positive attitude? How to manage your anger? What are sex and sexual desires? How to deal with that? How to deal with marriage? Keeping your word? Revenge and how to treat your enemies? How to manage your money? How to pray, and how to or not to worry. And so these are big topics. And then today we get to the next one in his series and he gives us some advice on whether and how we should judge other people. Now, when you read this, it actually is a bit of a contradiction, because if you read the front bit here, it says, do not judge others. And you go, all right, we don't judge. But then straight after it, he says, when you do judge, use a standard that you would like to be applied to you. So all of a sudden we're saying, don't judge, but when you do judge, use a particular standard. So what we've got to do today is do some detective work and try and work out what Jesus is actually saying. And so we're going to look at the word chrono, and I can't say that, but that's a Greek word. And you can see everywhere it's in blue, that is the word that they use, which means to judge in this case. And we're going to look at three different terminologies of that word to try and understand what Jesus is saying up here. Then just so that Jesus knows that we're actually getting this, he then tells two parables to outline what his perception is of this concept of judging. So let's just look at the first definition. If you actually go into a dictionary and look at the word krino, there are probably seven different definitions. And we're just going to look at three of them now, which I think will help us understand what Jesus is saying. So krino in its original base form just means to decide or make a decision. And so whenever we make a judgment, we always just make a decision. So if you look in Acts chapter 20, verse 16, you can see that it's actually used in that form. Paul has decided, just made a decision, that he's going to sail to Ephesus. In Acts 27, verse 1, and when it was decided, there's that concept again, a decision that had to be made. It's neutral. It's just somebody has to make a decision. And 1 Corinthians 2, 2, for I decided that while I was with you, I would. There it is again. There's a decision that is being made that we need to be doing. And so we know that we have to be making decisions. So Jesus is not saying when he says, do not judge, he's not saying it's okay for us to be procrastinators. He's saying we still have to make decisions, but we have to work out what he means by do not judge. The second concept here is the concept of judgment. And so if you were a big Judge Judy fan, everybody watch Judge Judy here, you know who Judge Judy is? She gets a set of facts presented to her from two different sides, and her job, again, is to be neutral in her process, and she's got to make a decision who is right, who is wrong. It's a form of judgment, and so she gets paid to make judgments. If you went to a trampoline competition, people will go and do their set of skills, and there are a set of judges who will hold up scorecards and make a judgment of how well the routine was done. And so again, in the Bible, we can see how that terminology is used. So in Romans 2, 16, and this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Jesus Christ, will judge everyone's secret life. Now, it's not talking about condemning there. It's talking about he's going to be able to assess in a fair way what people have or have not done. In Acts 3:13, this is the same Jesus whom you handed over and was rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision or his judgment to release him. And so Pilate had a set of facts. He made a judgment, and his judgment was to release Jesus. And so that's what we're talking about here. Now, what it says back in Matthew 7, it says that when we make a judgment, we should do it in a way that others, we would perceive fair if somebody used that against us as well. So in our family, if we had a bit of cake and we had to cut the cake and then share it, there are a number of ways you could do that. And so if I was the one cutting the cake, I might cut it into one third and two thirds, take the two thirds and let the other person have a third. But if I was the one who was receiving and the cake had to be cut, would I feel ripped off if the person who cut it took the two thirds and I got the one third? So we had a rule in our house that my mum was very wise seeing, and she would always make the person who was cutting the cake, who make the judgment of the cut, not be the one who chose what piece to take. And so if you were cutting and you knew the other person was going to choose, your judgment was spot on. It was very, very fair, wasn't it? So that's the concept that Jesus is saying here. When you make a judgment, and it could be in business, it could be in your private life, it could be in a whole stack of areas, you need to be fair in the way that you form your judgments. Now, the third concept here is the word krino can be translated as condemn. And so John chapter 3, verse 17, we can see how it's used there. God sent his son into the world not to judge or to condemn the world, but to save it through him. And then again in Acts 13, you can see the people in Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize Jesus as the one the prophets had spoken about. Instead, they condemned, krinoed, and in doing this, they fulfilled the prophets' words that are read every Sabbath. They found no legal reason to execute him, but they asked Pilate to have him killed anyway. So Pilate made a judgment, and his fair judgment was there is no answer. Jesus has nothing to answer to. And yet the Pharisees and the religious leaders condemned and said, yes, we know this is not a fair judgment, but we are going to impose that Jesus die anyway. So that is a condemnation. And so they condemned Jesus. Interesting enough, in John 3, 16 and 17, it's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It says that Jesus did not come to condemn. So I'm wondering if we look back at the first bit of Matthew, are we talking about that concept of do not judge? Could that actually mean do not condemn others? We still have to make decisions, but let's not condemn others in the way that we go about making decisions. Now, the scholars tell us that Jesus is on the mountain when he's giving this teaching about judging and these other things. But the book of James, when it was written, and the scholars tell us that the book of James is just an expanded version on the Sermon on the Mount. And so let's go and have a look. I'm not going to read this, but just have a look through here. Again, you can see the blue, which is the crino concept. What do you see in this passage? And I want you just to notice the bold things I've put in there. Who is the focus of the judging aimed at here? Whose problem is it? It's us. And so even though we might have been wronged, or there may have been something that is not right, James doesn't tell us we have to address that. He's saying we have to address our response, and we are not to be condemning of others despite what they've done to us. So why do we condemn people? Does it make us feel good in ourselves? Does it make us feel right? Does it make us feel wise? It's all about making us feel a certain way, isn't it? And so James is very clearly saying here that we should be looking after ourselves in the way that we make judgments, and being careful how we do that and not condemning other people. So when we get back to Matthew chapter 7, we could possibly read this passage as, do not condemn others and you will not be condemned, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard by which you make your judgments is the standard by which you or other people will make judgments about you. So the problem we have in this concept of condemning is that often if somebody has done something wrong against us, we take this style of approach. We stand there and we think we are right, and we put our hand behind Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, we're right and this person's wrong. Let's get them. But that's a deluded way of thinking, and I'm going to show you why in a minute. So what Jesus does is he's outlaid this concept, don't judge, or when you judge, judge fairly. And then he gives a parable. And so the parable is this. He says, why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your eye? So this is a parable, and the idea is to get you thinking about what this could mean. So there are a couple of very, very practical applications. If you have a log in your eye, or another way to think it, if you wear glasses and you need your glasses to read and you take them off and everything becomes blurry, this is the type of concept that Jesus is talking about here. So there are a couple of things, we need to consider in terms of if we have this big log in our eye, how does that change, or how does that influence the way that we look at a situation that might be affecting us? So firstly, do we know the circumstances in somebody else's life that might cause them to act this way? Have we considered that? Do we have a motive or an intent that would prejudice our judgment? Do we have something that we really want that means we've got to get somebody else so we can condemn them because of that? Are we listening to somebody else's comments, which then may affect how we perceive somebody else? Maybe we have some type of sin in our life that will colour how we respond. Maybe there's anger or something else in our life that is causing us to perceive people a different way. Or have we made false assumptions about somebody else? And that's what we saw in the skit this morning, wasn't it? Somebody was taking a pack of chips and it had assumed that Jono had stolen hers, and all the fact it was just sitting under her jacket. So that's the first thing. Now, when I got this email from this person, my first response was big blinking eye, and my immediate response was, well, I probably overemphasized the situation in my mind and started feeling sorry for myself. I then talked to other people indiscriminately about the situation, which was kind of seeking some empathy for myself. And I knew some background about the person that had written this to me, and I chose to ignore the background information that I knew about this person. So really my response initially to the email I received was, planking eye, I need to get this person back. They have done the wrong thing by me. We're going to come back and talk about that story a bit later on as well. The second implication that we could look at is, what is the true perception of who we are and where we are in God's eyes? And so often when we make judgments, we generally perceive that we have wisdom, that we are in the right, and that the other person deserves some type of treatment that we impose upon them. The problem is that often we tend to be arrogant towards others, but exonerate our own behaviour. So if somebody does something and we look at it, we would then judge them. If we did the same thing, we would go, oh, yeah, it's understandable that I did that because. And so we make excuses for ourselves. I hate the arguments at home when I have one of my siblings come to me and they all make some type of accusation against one of the other family members, and you listen to their explanation, and then about 5 minutes later, one of the other siblings come in and they make exactly the same accusations against one of the other, parents all know this, don't they? And they make exactly the same accusation against the other sibling. You go, you both got the same problems, and all it is a difference in perception. And so we're going to have a look at this next little bit, which is very, oh, sorry, just go back there. Jesus suggests that we need to have a better understanding of our own condition, in which essence is the same as everybody else around us. And so let's look and see what that means. Because Jesus says a very interesting thing here. In verse 5, he says, hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Now, Jesus assumes that we know how to remove the log. Do we know how to move the log in our own eye? And so I think it's got a lot to do about perception and understanding who we are. Now, if you came to church this morning, and as you came through the door, Chad, as our church pastor, had a little special device that he could just plug into your side, and then he could put up on this screen all the things that you've thought this week, or all the things that you have said to people, or all the different actions that you've had against people. How comfortable would you be feeling right now with everybody in this room watching what was on the screen? The fact is, we all have serious issues, don't we? And so the beauty for us is that in a little while, we're going to take communion. And the point is that there is actually a video playing. And when we sit here to have communion later, we'll all sit here as people with problems and sin in their life. And Jesus, who is a part of this, can see everything that has happened in our life. And yet as we sit here in this room, we are not condemned, we are forgiven. And if we are not condemned because of what Christ has done for us, then what right do we have to condemn others amongst our community in terms of what they may or may have done to us? Interesting to think about. So followers of Jesus belong to a community of people who understand that they have issues, and through confession and acknowledgement of Jesus as their Saviour, are forgiven through grace and mercy instead of being condemned. Powerful, isn't it? So does that mean that we don't have the hard conversations with other people? Of course we need to have them. Jesus asks us to make decisions and judgments every day. We just have to do them in an appropriate manner. So then he gives this next little parable to help us understand how we can make wise decisions and good judgments that aren't condemning of other people. So he says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. So what do pigs like? Do they like pearls or do they like food? It's quite simple, isn't it? We all know what they like. So why would you give pearls to pigs? You would not do it, would you? So what is Jesus trying to say here? Well, the other day, somebody asked me how my week was going, and I was quite excited because I've just built this little shed in my backyard, and I've just painted the floor, and I've got a new little coffee roaster in there, and I was very excited telling this person all about my coffee roaster and how good it was and how it connects into my computer. And as I was doing this, I saw the person's eyes roll back in their head. And I said, "You're not interested in what I'm saying, are you?" And they went, "Nope, don't like coffee, don't drink it, not interested." And I thought, oh, well, that's... And I thought, that's actually very true. Here I am sharing a whole stack of truckload of information with a person who had no desire or energy to know anything about coffee. Now, Geary and I had the same conversation. We had a beautiful conversation about coffee and how far you roast and how the new meat, because we have a relationship that enjoys coffee. So this is kind of what I think Jesus is trying to get across here. See this truck? Often when we want to go and take somebody's speck out of their eye, we grab all this biblical concept or all these arguments and we ram it across this relational bridge that we haven't built, and we destroy the bridge, we destroy the person. They're not ready to hear what we have to say. So I think we need to be very careful in terms of when we want to share or help somebody else. We certainly have to take the plank out of our eye and make sure that what we're doing is with the right motives and our judgment is fair. But we also have to build a bridge that allows us to share that information. So back to my story with my friend who sent me this email. I had to make a judgment on the things that he had said to me. And I knew that I had to make a call. And I knew that when I made my judgment, he was still not going to like the outcome of the judgment that was going to be made. And so doing this study, I thought I have to come up with a way to communicate this back to him without destroying relationship. And I actually knew that that was going to be very difficult. So I had to fight to find another way that would allow community to remain but be able to communicate the truth. So what I did was I went and sought some advice, this time from somebody who was appropriately gifted to give me good advice. I had a chat to them. They gave me some very good instructions to follow. I then followed those instructions. I called this person and had a chat with them and explained why we were making a decision. And I had, through God, which is a God thing, another person who had good relationship with this person that I was able to talk to and connect this person to, so they could actually go and work the situation through, because this other person had an amazing relationship with this person. So we did that, and about a week later I got an email back from that person apologising for their email to me and giving their full support to where the organisation was going and what we're going to be doing in the future. And so community and relationship, we had to fight for it, was maintained through a process of making good judgment and by using a relational bridge. And I wasn't the bridge that could do that, so I had to find another form of bridge to allow that to occur. John Maxwell, who is a leadership guru, we're doing some of this stuff the other week, and he says that 90% of the art of living consists of getting along with people you just cannot understand. And so he gives a number of ways that can help you to communicate or deal with, he calls it difficult people, but this is people every day in our lives. And so he says we need to know people's personality, who they are. We need to know their temperament, what is their style, what is their heart, what do they love, their relationships, what is their bond, and their dreams, what do they want to achieve. And so this is the same concept. If we want to build a relational bridge and be able to make good judgments and communicate them, we really need to understand the people that we're working with and how we can communicate with them. So Maxwell says that once you understand that, you need to consider, communicate, connect, and commit. And so this first one, consider, I think that is the thing that we kind of forget to do most times, because it means that we need to sit down with the person and actually have a conversation. Now, when the email came to me, my first response was, I can deal with this with an email and I can say whatever I like and take some revenge and state the facts, but that wouldn't have been helpful in any shape or form to this person, and it would have broken the relationship or the community that God wants us to have. So I had to actually ring and have that conversation, and that was a hard thing to do, but we did that. And then you can see here, communicate, what are their needs, why are they acting this way, how do I meet their needs before asking for them, and that comes back to that truck concept. Do you think that's been photoshopped by any chance, that photo? Probably has, hasn't it? But that's the concept. We're going across this bridge, and do I have enough relationship to be able to communicate these things wisely to somebody else? And then Maxwell Connor says at the end of this, if you've done all those things and you still can't come to agreement, sometimes there are consequences to those processes. And that's kind of the concept of the pig trampling and people attacking you at the end. That can happen. But our desire has got to be trying to rectify and maintain community at all costs as far as we can. So here's a statement to think about. God designed this world to function in community. Based on his values, Jesus outlines God's values in how we should act towards each other, warning us to judge wisely and to remember what grace and mercy has been afforded to ourselves and our fellow believers. Something to think about. Am I a part of God's community? That means we sit in this room and we need to be showing and living out Jesus' values. If not, and you would like to know more, talk to us and we can discuss this more with you and help you experience the grace and mercy that God offers us all. If you are a part of God's community, what changes do you need to make in your life to help build family members instead of condemning others? Let's take a moment to pray, and we're going to say bye to those who are online, and then we're going to take communion together. So let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the fact that he understands what it feels like to be condemned, and yet he did not condemn back. He took the role of dying that we could be forgiven. Father, we just thank you so much for your values and the things that you see as important, the fact that you want us to be a community, people who stand beside each other and fight for kingdom values. We ask that we can do this in your name. Amen.